and we'll get started with
the lesson, the training school, and we'll move farther in the scriptures on tonight. What I want to discuss is something that we talk about quite a bit, and what my goal is, is to give you everything. Give you everything that I possibly understand within the boundaries of what Yah allows me to give you, so that you can have the relationship with Yah that He desires for each one of you to have. No matter what perspective of that relationship may be. And so there are certain things that I want to share with you and be transparent with you on, because what I know is going to take place, because it's the reason why Yah has me sharing this information. Well, I'll start with a familiar passage. I'm just pull up two Bibles here. So I started a passage that we deal with quite a bit, Isaiah 28, verse 10. And I'll pull up another Bible too, because I'm going to use just the two foundational scriptures. I like to say foundational scriptures are as far as the ministry is concerned, that I love to use. They're like a foundation to me when it comes down to teaching, and I make my best effort to stay within the bounds of these laws. Let me pray. Father Yah, I just bless you and honor you. I just thank you for who you are in our lives, and I just glorify you for all that you do. Just continue to give us wisdom and understanding. Thank you for believing and guiding our minds in every facet, and we just bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we pray. Amen. The scriptures whereby which I use as a foundation for our understanding is Isaiah 28, verse 10. Although you have to understand it within its contextual meaning, Isaiah 28:10, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 are scriptures that I apply to understanding the scriptures and everything that I teach on is within the boundaries of these two books from the perspective of understanding. Okay. Isaiah 28 verse 10, we know within the contextual meaning, it was when Yah used other nations, especially when you look at verse 11, and this is what tongues really is according to scripture, not what you see religion, not what religion does from a perspective of speaking in tongues, but it is the concept by which you understand tongues. Because when our nation was in disobedience, when you read Isaiah chapter 28, you see that Yah said, okay, in a nutshell, I gave you my laws, I made it simple, just paraphrasing, I gave you my laws, statutes and judgments, my words. I made it simple but you looked at it as being a hard thing, and you complained about it. You didn't want to line up with it, and since you wouldn't take the precept upon precept, the commands that I gave you step by step, detail by detail, and I connected every step by step in detail by detail. Thus, precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We learn things at a time, and so as you see the colon in verse 10, it lets you know in order to understand the association that he had with his precept upon precept, line upon line. He said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak." Will he speak to his people? And so, as they refused to accept his law, statutes, and judgment, then he said, "I'm going to, in a nutshell, bring a people to you that has a language that you don't understand." And it will be a stammering lip. And when you look at the word stammering, it's like laig, which means buffoon, a foreigner, also a foreigner. So anytime you understand the true concept of speaking in tongues, it is a language that is foreign to potentially the speaker as well as the hearer, to certain perspectives. And so as you look at it again, the scripture by which we use, it says for precept, it means an injunction, a commandment. For precept must be upon precept, commandment. Precept upon precept. It must be one from another. In other words, in order to understand precept, it's from a perspective of, when you look at injunctions, you can run other references on this here. It says from 66. From 6680, you click down at the bottom here, and it says a constitute, enjoin. So when you look at enjoin, in order for us to understand the scripture, we must understand that the command or the words of Yah was upon it must be enjoined. A precept must be upon precept. It must be given in or to charge, but constitute, but it has to be enjoined. And that's when you see the line upon line, which means a chord for measuring, a rule, a musical string, a line. And so when you look at line, it says you enjoin the words by the word. So in order to understand scripture, it has to be the scripture that has a line that enjoins it to the other scripture. That is the only way to teach the scripture. There is no other way we can teach it rightly. Okay? And so when we look at it, this is a law by which we live as a ministry. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. We know that God gives us a little bit at a time. Once you take a chord, a command, and you run a string to it and connect it to the other command, then that happens over a period of time. That's the first time God had me to study the scripture precept upon precept, line upon line. It took me 12 years. Well, I finished in 2012. I immediately started back in Genesis and started precept upon precept, line upon line again. It took me 5 years. I just finished December 2017. Well, I'm doing precept upon precept, line upon line again. And each time I do it, he gives me a little bit more understanding, a little bit more understanding. I start to see more and more of the true meanings of the scriptures as each time I connect these cards. Each time I understand how the cards work. Each time I do it. If you ever, you know, the time when I used to love doing puzzles and crossword puzzles, and you know, anything that had to do with some form of puzzle, I used to love to do them, put together puzzles or do crossword puzzles and things like that. And one of the things that you come to the understanding of is the more you do them, the easier it gets. The first time you're introduced to a crossword puzzle, it may take you, you know, an hour or maybe some days to do it or whatever. But the more you do it, the more you get accustomed to the techniques and the methods by which is used to connect those words together and to, you know, letters together to make words and different things like that, and it gets easier and easier. Well, it's the same way as far as the scripture. Here a little, there a little, okay? And then, obviously, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, there's no prophecy. When you look at the word prophecy, it means prediction. Scriptural or others. So any prediction that I make, if I'm saying that Yah is coming back for the children of Israel, according to what he said to Abraham after 400 years, then I have to be able to confirm that from a conjunction perspective. I have to be able to take a scripture and connect a line to the other scripture to prove my point. I just can't say he's coming back for the nation of Israel, you know, after 400 years, what he said to Abraham, and then, you know, get the, you know, have the timeline mixed up. Why am I so sure that it's talking about in the days that we're living in? It's because when you connect a card upon card and command upon command, you know, when you join it all together, then it, you know, everything makes sense, and you understand that it's not talking about the time frame in Egypt, because we were only in Egypt for 215 years total. When you connect command upon command with a line connecting it scripture to scripture, you know without a doubt that's not talking about Egypt, because when you connect card to card, you know we were only in Egypt for 215 years as a whole. So it couldn't be talking about 400 years when he said that in Genesis 15 and then Acts chapter 7, he could not have been saying the time frame as far as Egypt is concerned, because in Acts chapter 7, he's talking about it again. And so when you connect it card to card, you know without a doubt, okay, from the card to card connection of the scripture, we know that our nation was in Egypt for a total of 215 years, and all signs pointing to when you connect card to card, from the time of Moses' birth, that, you know, our nation was in captivity in Egypt for about 80 years, or you know, give or take, they dealt with some things from that perspective. So Moses fled, he was gone, you know, for about 40 years when he came back and dealt with our nation in Egypt. He went before Pharaoh. Moses was about 80 years old. So when you connect cards, you're able to make those determinations. Okay. Now, as we look at these things a little bit more in more detail, understanding these concepts again, verse 20 here, and again it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture, no prediction. If I'm going to predict that something is going to happen, then no prediction of the scripture or interpretation of the scripture is of any private idiot. Well, listen to idiots when that happens. Private interpretation for the prophecy. Prophecy for the foretelling of what was going to take place in our future, and the interpretation of the scripture came not in old times by the will of man. It was not the will of man. So when you look at the will of man, by the will of man, it's Solomon, by the will, the purpose, the decree, inclination, desire, pleasure of man, the choice of man. So when you hear people say, oh man, the scripture was written by men. Yeah, men put the ink to the paper, but they were not They were, it was not according to their own will. They were inspired. They were moved. When you look at the word moved in verse 21, they were moved. Okay, they were moved to carry, to bring, to endure. They were driven, rushing as a rushing mighty wind. Acts chapter 2, it lets you know the Spirit was the one who was doing the rushing. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord and in one place, and suddenly the Spirit of God descended in cloven tongue as a fire. It was, as far as I said, as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So you look at that rushing, and you see in the definition of move and rushing. It was a rushing of the Holy Ghost. Okay? It deals with the mind. Okay? Disposition, the mental state. The Spirit is the breath of Yah. Okay? So he's Yah's the source. And so as we look at this understanding, in order to take it to where Yah wants us to be from this now, we have to come to the conclusion of Mark chapter 4 to understand the concept by using Christ as the example. Mark chapter 4 verse 1 says, then was Yehoshua, Matthew, yeah, I said Mark. Y'all help me, because I'll say one thing and leave another. Matthew chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 says, Then was Yehoshua led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Okay. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungry. Okay. I had this same experience when I went on 40-day fast, and the same thing happened to me as you see in verse 3. But the only thing is I wasn't tempted from a perspective of being told to command things turned into bread. I was actually brought food and cold drinks in order to, in an attempt to give me the break to fast. Okay. Verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But he said, but he answered and said, it is written. So what's the first thing we come to understand when it says it is written? That it's somewhere in the Scripture, and it's in the Old Testament. Okay, 9 times out of 10 is going to be in the Old Testament. So we need to find out before we move on, okay, it's written, where is this written? Where is this written? Okay. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8 says this. It says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live. What causes us to live? All of these commandments, which I command thee this day, that ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land, which Yah swore unto your father. And thou shalt remember all the way which Yah thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee. Now, when you look at the word prove, it means nasa. It means to attempt, adventure, essay, prove, tempt, try. Okay, so Yah led our nation into the wilderness to humble us, okay, you know, to depress us, to cause us to weaken, because we were stiff-necked people. Matter of fact, still as a whole to this day. Okay, to humble thee and to prove. Now, when you look at the word prove, it means in a nutshell to try, to test. You see, as it says, to test. Now, what did it say concerning the Savior? And verse 1 of Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Yehoshua led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. You look at the word tempted, it means the same meaning, to test, endeavor, scrutinize, entice, discipline. Yah is going to discipline each one of us. Even the Savior could not get outside the boundaries of the test, the discipline. Okay, the trying. Even the Savior, the Son of Yah, couldn't get beyond it. That's why the Scripture says, "In all manner as we are, He is tempted, tested." Even when you look at it, it goes beyond just saying from perspective of sin, but it's from a perspective of the same way we are disciplined. Christ Himself dealt with the same thing. So He was led of the Spirit, what, specifically to be tried, to be scrutinized, to be enticed. When I went on the 40-day fast, I was enticed. The enemy came to entice me. Break the fast. Look at this cold drink. The drink that he was bringing me, you know how you see those commercials when you see some ice cold when it's just dripping wet and with the frost and stuff. Those type of drinks he was offering me, and the food, hot food and things like that to get me to come off fast. Tempted, test. And so as you see here, you have the Savior going through the same process, by which our nation was going through in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Yah led them, and thou shalt remember all the way, when you look at the way, all the way, okay, a road, a course of life, or a mode of action. Look at the things that have happened to you in life. Okay? Look at the things that have happened to you in life and understand that those may be some things that Yah put in your life, even if the enemy was behind it, that it was something to scrutinize you, to get you to where you're supposed to be. Because until Yah scrutinizes us, until He tests us, until He tries us, we'll think that our source of living is by something else. Okay? Well, our soul survival is something else. Our soul dependency is something else. In other words, until Yah bring us to that place where we've been proven and tested, where we've been tried, where we've been scrutinized, where we've been disciplined, then we have the tendency to think that something else is the source by which we're successful, or the source by which, you know, we live and these things like that. I received a text message a few days ago that individual basically said to me in a nutshell, I desire to be a millionaire, and I know you're going to ask me why. That's what I was asked, you know, what the text I received. And I know you're going to ask me why. So my first response was not to ask why, but my first response was that, you know, what is your plan for that? Because Yah is not wasteful. Yah is not wasteful. And there are times when Yah will prove us and He'll test us and different things like that to see what thought it is. To see what thought, to see what's in there, okay? So, as you look at the left of the screen here, he led them these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, to prove thee, to test, to try, to know what was in thine heart. Okay, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. See, y'all, you have to realize that sometimes things happen in our lives to bring about a trying to see to see if we will step up and do what we said we would do without being in the position to do it. So Yahweh, I took you this way because everybody could worship me when I brought them out of Egypt. Everybody could stand and talk about how good I am when I brought them out of Egypt. He said, but I took you through scrutinies. I took you through circumstances. I allowed you to not see all the wonderful things in life in order to test you to see what was really in there. You know, there's this brother that I just said brother. There's this brother that I know that when he was in a certain position financially, there was always things that he wanted to do to help people that were in a certain condition. He always talked about how he wanted to help these individuals and how they were being treated systematically, and all these different things were, you know, that was unfair to them, and they needed to be given a chance, and he wanted to do whatever he could possibly do in order to help them. And that was what, when you listen to this individual talk, that gave you the impression that he was compassionate about it, what we discussed. Until the incident happened where he came into some resources. And when he came into those resources, those resources was to prove and to test and to see what was in his heart. You know what? He don't talk much about his passion anymore. Because when the proving time came to see what was really in his heart, it manifested that he really didn't love what he claimed that he loved. We all have to be careful about it. God would allow things to come around in time to test us and to prove us, to see what's in our heart, to see if what's really in our heart, if we'll obey his commandments or no. The individual that sent me a text about having a desire to be a millionaire, this individual, you know, also talk about or have talked about how they would be a blessing to the church. I said they, to keep you from understanding who the individual is. How they would be a blessing to the church when they came into that type of money. But in the testing process, they don't show up now to give $2. Now y'all know us here, we don't say nothing about money, but it's just a proven thing to show you how people's minds it is. Y'all will take us in wilderness periods at times for whatever reason or another to humble us, to prove to us, to see what was in our heart, to see if we really would do what we say. You know, when I go to y'all and say, look, y'all, if you're not gonna use me, kill me. If you're not gonna empower me to be everything that you desire for me to be, and to raise me up to be who you call me to be, then just kill me. If you're not gonna put me in a position to be a blessing, then I have no purpose in life. God said, okay, I'm gonna put you in that position, and I'm gonna test you, and I'm gonna prove you, and I'm gonna see what's in your heart or no. I'm gonna see if you really who you say that you are. He tests us all the time. He proveth even Christ himself as the Son of God did not get beyond that proof. God said, because you are my son, and you're my only begotten son, you still have to go through the process by which all my other children have to go through. And I'll be touched with the feeling of their infirmities. If I don't test you, then what right do I have to test them? So the minute that the Spirit of Yah came up on him, the minute the Spirit of Yah starts to deal with you, guess what's going to take place?
you are going to be tested. You're going to be tested. And so it's vitally important for you to understand that. And when that test comes, what is going to manifest in the heart? Are we going to stick with Yah's word or no? Verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. That's what manna is. Manna is, what is it? As we look at the definition here. He fed us with manna. Manna. Called from the flesh of the body. Whatness? When our nation saw that, they was like, what is this? Whatness? What is this, man? I don't even know what to call this. We got to eat it. And he humbled these. I humbled you because during the time frame you left and you had all them leeks and them nice, you know, vegetables and you know, you were eating well because you lived in Goshen. And Goshen in Egypt was the highest quality of land that existed in the land of Egypt. So you had the best land to grow your crop and your cattle fed on the best land. So not only did you have the best crop in the land of Egypt, you had the best living cattle in the land of Egypt. You had all of the best qualities of all the things according to life in Egypt. You had everything at the highest level. He said, but I need to see what's in your heart. So when I got you out here these 40 years, thus Christ, now when you look to the right of the screen, he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. It was the same symbol that shows the testing. 40 years, 40 days, lungs, 40 days and 40 nights, you got to fast. You got to be tested, because if I'm going to raise you up to be someone to hold a scepter and to be the lawgiver, then I have to test you, because I got to see what's in you. And we got to be careful that we don't continue to be dogs returning to our own stomach. You know, where we just constantly return back to the same old mindset that Yah is delivering us from, so that he can bring us to where he wants us to be. And he humbled thee, verse 3, the 11th spring, Deuteronomy chapter 8. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doeth not live by bread alone. Food is not your source. $1 million is not your source. Person I received a text message from, that is not your source. And so all these tests come about to make us realize that we don't live by things that sustain the physical body. Man shall not live by bread alone. You can live by it, but not by itself. See, most people think they can live with $1 million. Again, the text message I got, they think if I had $1 million, I can live. Some people think if I can just do this or do that, if I can accomplish this or accomplish that, then we live it. Y'all said, don't think that you can live by bread alone. Don't think that you can live by what sustains the physical desire. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not just some of it, by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God doeth man live. Yeah, food sustain us. $1 million can do us well. I mean, I can think a whole lot of stuff I can do with $1 million, man. We have a renovation project, man. I could take that $1 million, boy, and look here. We can do some stuff, and man, from, you know, just from a formal perspective of what I'm realizing is y'all still doing the same thing. Because he's proven and he's testing us and caused us to realize that, you know what? You don't live by what sustains the physical. You live by my word. And if you approach that project by my word, then you shall always live. you shall always live. So again, as he said, we'll look at the word live in verse 3. That man that doeth not live, the word live is to live, whether literally or figuratively, to revive, to keep, to nourish. Food, yeah, nourishes the body, but that ain't what we gonna be able to make it by. We can't be whole by food. $1 million is not gonna make a person whole. $1 million is not gonna make a person successful. But God gives us the source by which we become successful. We become successful, or we live now. Man shall not live, okay, to be whole by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah shall man be whole. And what I was trying to get this individual to understand in our conversation is that you're trying to be whole from a carnal perspective, and you'll never be whole with $1 million, because $1 million only enhances the mental state of what you already are. And if we don't allow the word to make us whole, then no amount of money we receive is going to make us that way. No amount of success, you know, we can finish our project, but if we're not whole from a state of consciousness, a mental state, then we're going to go in a building sick, still not being whole, still not satisfied. We don't realize that God's our source, and that we live by His word. His word is the method by which we live. Yeah, we still need food for the physical body, but that's not going to make us whole alone. And people have to understand that. And that's why we've been dealing with the lesson we started this past Sabbath, talking about the future economic crash and things like that, the conditions of the economy. God is getting us ready to know that when all these things happen, if you follow my laws, statutes, and judgments, you're going to always be whole. You're going to always live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. You want to know how to live? You want me to tell you how I live? How I've been living since 1992? When I realized that you know, Yah has always dealt with me, you know, from birth, really. But I'm talking about when I really started to understand my past was in 1992. When He tested me all these different times and put me in the position that I'm in now, you know, I come to realize now that my whole life has been sustained by the word. My whole life has been sustained by the word. God has blessed me with a lot of things, but none of those things sustain me like the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God doeth man live. I need and you need to be led and instructed by Yah on a daily basis. When that happens, you are whole. That's why Paul made the statement. He said, no matter what state I'm in, whether I'm a base, I'm in my worst state, or I'm abounding, I'm in my best state. So whatever state I'm in, I learn to be content. I learn how to live. Why? Because I live. It is not me that's living, it is Him that's living in me. His word is what caused me to be sustained on a daily basis. That is the foundation by which I walk with Yah. I understand how to live. I want to teach you. And I want you to understand how to live. We don't live by things that sustain the flesh. We live by His word. I'm made whole. You're made whole. So as we look at our nation operating in these 40 years, look what he says in verse 4. He says, He said, now, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so Yah thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of Yah thy God, and walk in his ways, and fear him. For Yah thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of rivers, a land of brooks, of rivers, of a land of brooks of water, and fountains, and depths, and springs, out of valleys and hills. As you continue to read on, so you look at Matthew 4 now as we move back to that. It says in Yehoshua verse 1, Matthew chapter 4, then was Yehoshua led of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Same perspective. Our nation was led in the wilderness to be tempted. You think the Savior was not going to be led to be tempted? Our nation was led in the wilderness to be tempted, and they were dealt with for 40 years. Christ was tested for 40 days and 40 nights. Afterwards, he was hungry. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of Yah, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written. Our nation was told this in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It is written, that's what he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah. Our nation was taught that concept, and so our Savior understood it. And today we have to understand that concept. We have to understand what's written. We got to know that it is written for us, for our learning, for our understanding, so that when these things happen, when we're tested for whatever reason or another, we're going to stand the test, because we know no matter how it looks, that is not what nourishes me. The economy does not nourish me. My job is not my nourishment. That is not how I get my nourishment. I am nourished by Yah. I am nourished by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Yah. And when I stand on that, he has a whole lot of good things prepared for me. And also for you. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is how we live. This is how we have to be on a daily basis. We have to understand that Yah is our source, and we got to live that way. And some linear. Look at bread, it says loaf. You look at alone, it means by themselves. Remaining, soul, or single. There are people who are going to fail the test in the future because they think that their soul's livelihood is based upon material possessions. And so Yah has tested church. He's going to test the church. He's going to bring us as the church, the remnant, the saints, the believers. He's going to test us. We have to go through. Y'all got to hear what I'm saying to you. We have to, church, listen, body of Christ. We have to go through the test. The nation of Israel went through the test. Christ went through the test. The church has to go through the test. If the head goes through the test, the body has to go through the test. That's the tribulation. But you know how folks say, well, no, we're not going to be tested, but we're going to be up out of here before all that bad stuff can happen. I'm going to tell you, if the head was tested, you can rest assured the body's going to be tested. To see what's in people's heart of whether they will keep his word or no. When that day comes, people are going to have to make a conscious decision of whether they're going to live by Yah's word or by things that sustain the flesh, the bread. that is coming. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God is how we live. That's all I know. Since 1982, all I've known is my soul's survival has been based upon God's word. There's nothing else that has the same in life but His word. You know, sometimes you get people who, for whatever reason or another, they'll say, well, you know, well, you're different. You're, God's doing something special with you. Now, we're looking at the word. We're looking at the word here. That word was given to the whole nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. It wasn't just talking to somebody who was special. So when Christ made the statement, He was saying that this is not just a plan to me and things going to work for me because I'm someone special. He was repeating what was told to our nation. You can't live by bread alone, but you live by obeying God's word, standing on His word, signing up with His kingdom. That is the source of our success in life. That is the story, y'all. And it's vitally important for us to understand that fact. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and stop right here. I have to get you prepared for your test that's going to come. Each one of you are going to be tested. I mean, you may be even being tested now. Each one of you are going to be tested. None of our tests are going to be, the same. Don't look for what I be tested on for you to be tested by the same thing. But all of us have to go through this test. God right now is creating dilemmas. He's creating circumstances to see what's really in us. He's seeing what's in the heart. He's seeing if we would keep our focus and stay on His word and stand on His word and obey His word, things are coming to see if we're going to stand. And God said, I brought it about these ways just to prove, to test, to humble, and to see what was in the heart. And so it's just vitally important for us to understand these things. Now, y'all, and I have to go back to Deuteronomy 8 to finish this because I don't want people, you know, when I start warning people that God's going to test, then, you know, it causes people to kind of get a little bit uneasy and things like that. But I like this. I actually embrace it. I love to be tested by God because here's the thing that is vitally important for us to understand. Verse 5, He says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son. When you look at the word chasteneth, your car was blown. It means to instruct, to correct, to teach. Okay? Verse 5 again, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that a man that teaches his son, that as a man teaches his son, so Yah, thy God, also teach you. Teach me. That's what I'm going to teach you. You belong to me. If I am your God, or since I am your God, I am going to teach you. So that's why I embrace it. I want to be instructed by Yah. See, our mindset is that when we hear the word prove or test, we automatically think we're bad. It's something bad. Y'all can test you with good things to see what's in your heart. Remember the example I used as far as the guy was concerned? That was a good thing that happened to him. He came into some resources, and that was a good thing. So that was a good test, but he failed the test because he's not thinking about supporting those people that he talked about when he didn't have a resource. Man, if I had a resource, I'd do this. Man, I help these guys with this. I'd do that and all this. Yeah. That resource, man, I don't even hardly hear him talk about it. You don't even hardly hear him mention the topic anymore. Because the sole reason for caring about those people was because the bottom line was resources for him. Now, since the resources are there, the good thing, y'all going to test you with good things. Don't think that you got to be driving down the road and got to have a rig, or you got to have some type of disease, or you got to go through some type of tragedy. Y'all may put something wonderful in your hand and then say, now I'm going to see where the heart is. And so, you know, I'm in prayer for this brother, and there are some things that he talked about doing. I'm doing them right now. Yeah, I just opened the doors, and man, we just doing it. We doing it. And when I say I'm doing it, I'm talking about us all, because there are things that we're doing at the ministry, even as far as our project is concerned, that's opening up the doors for these type of men that this guy has said that he wanted to help. So our doors are being opened for these type of men, and we're helping them. So it's something that we're doing as a whole. God has blessed us with a project and given us the ability to go forward and to complete that project just so that he can bless someone else through their test. And man, y'all won't believe it. You know, I could tell y'all some stories that's happening up there each day at that building. And when you hear the details of those stories and the lives that's being changed right up there at that building on a daily basis, you'd be like, wow, man, God not only has blessed us with something that's going to be a blessing when it's open, it's a blessing right now. Do y'all know we have created jobs for people who, I gotta share this testimony, man. God has created jobs for people who have been struggling financially and about to destroy their households and their relationship with their spouses and all these things, all because they don't have the understanding that man don't live by bread alone. And God has blessed us to be able to have a project that has caused us to be able to employ people to relieve the stress of thinking that they live by bread alone, and now they're getting things that's going to allow them to eat bread as well as just the word of Yah to cause them to continue to grow, and they're just overwhelmed with the goodness of Yah. And it was like, this is the state I was in before I came up here. And since I've come up here, my life has changed. And then they're bringing their spouses up there, and their spouses are coming up there, and the women are just looking at the men, and they're crying, and they're saying, man, I don't know, some wonderful things are happening here. All because Yah said, I put something in your hand, and you were faithful over it, and because you were faithful over it, I tested you, and you still put your efforts forward, and you kept your mind on my word, and because of that, I'm being a blessing to people, and I'm changing lives. In other words, y'all are changing lives as a ministry, and you haven't even set foot in the building yet as an open house, so to speak. Y'all, hear what I'm telling you. We were turned down. $1.1 million to create jobs, and we're doing it anyhow. We were turned down $1.1 million to finish our project, and we're finishing it anyhow. Still creating jobs. In other words, John said, I put you to the test, ministry, and you're passing the test, and because of that, you're changing the lives of people who needed resources who needed a job, who needed resources to sustain their family. So not only are y'all completing the project by my purpose, but you're also creating jobs for families, and you're changing people's lives with the resources that you're putting into this project to make it all happen. It's way bigger than just opening up a building. We're changing people's lives right now as I speak. There are people up there right now whose lives are being changed. And their wives are coming up there and they're crying. They're weeping right there on the property. And you got men who are saying, man, something wonderful has happened here. All because God tested us. And we knew that we don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And look what God is doing. He's changing lives already. Man, we got ridiculous kinds of support right now, man. It's so many wonderful things that's happening. I was at a neighborhood watch meeting last night, man, and one of my sons in the ministry, who's one of the chief of police of Citadel, he was there, and then you had his chief, the chief over all the police departments, and, she was there, and man, here this little nobody, that's what I like talking about, here this little nut, this little fool, got access to everybody because of the connection. Because people were being shielded from getting in contact with certain people. I was just able to walk right up to them without any problem whatsoever. Because when we realize that we're sustained by God's word instead of some type of status that we have based upon our own ability, then God put us in wonderful circumstances recognizable positions, and that's not even what we're looking for. Y'all, we're changing lives. And God is using each one of you to do it. And you have not even come close to imagining the blessings that God has in store for all of us as we have passed this test. Man, the last thing we'll be concerned about is bread. How we're going to live from the physical perspective. So the thing that we're doing is changing people's lives and also completing what God has called us to do, man, you can't imagine the blessing that's happening to people. As we see, families' lives are literally being changed because we have created jobs. So we're looking at an economic development administration from Washington turning us down for funding us resources, and we still doing what they giving other folks money. Do. Y'all say I'm the source. I'm going to allow you to create jobs. I'm going to allow you to generate resources to pay these employees so that they can feed their families. So the resources that we're putting into our project is feeding families and creating jobs, saving marriages, saving families, and causing people to look to y'all and say, I know you're a provider. That's what's going on, y'all. But it can't happen unless we first of all be tested to see what's going on in our heart. So little did we know that we were all being tested. Y'all, so I'm not going to let these folks give you the resources because I want to take and do something wonderful for you. I don't want to bless EBA. I want to bless you. I don't want them to get my glory. I want to be glorified in you. I want you to be glorified in what I'm doing, and I want to be glorified in what you're doing. I want this to be our own glorified celebration, if I can say it that way, for lack of a better word. So he wouldn't let anybody support us. And Stanley used to say it all the time. And you said it for years. She said it for years, man. And when she was said, I used to look at her. She had a revelation. She used to say it all the time. She said, Lon, she said, everything that we need is already in the house. She said, everything that we need is already in the house. She said that years ago. She was saying that 10, 15 years ago. Everything we need is already in the house. God has already given us everything that we need pertaining to life. It's already in the house. You know what I realized when she was saying? We got his word. We got everything we need. It don't matter. We can have a million people. We can have three. We got everything we need. Why? Because the word is going forth. We got everything we need in the house. The word is in the house, and y'all is going to back up his word. So I realize what she's saying. That's the revelation that I get now from what she was saying. Everything we need is already in the house. Jah had already prepared the hearts of people 15, 20 years ago. In other words, when we started this church back in 1994, Jah had already prepared the hearts of the people and getting them ready through the test and saying they were being tested and wasn't even part of the church. You who was a part of the church back then, you were being tested. Everybody was being tested. Some of them didn't make it. Some of us are still being tested. You're still being tested. I'm still being tested. Some people didn't make it. Some fell off along the way. Y'all added some along the way. But either way it go, all of us was being tested to see what thoughts that we are, to see what was in our heart, in order for him to get us to where we are right now. I'm just proud to be a pastor that has a church that is willing to follow as I follow Christ and come to the magnitude of where we are to where we're changing lives of families on a daily basis while at the same time is a project that God has commissioned us to do. Man, I didn't have no idea that this vision entailed creating jobs for families and save marriages and save households and cause people to be able to pay bills because they got a place to go to work. That's exactly what's going on. There are households, there are families. You know what I'm telling you, churches, like you're in the club. There are families tonight that's sitting at the table with a meal on that table, all because of us passing the test and standing on y'all's word. There are families who had no way out of their circumstance, and they were on the brink of being destroyed, and y'all took the Lord. When I said little old us, I ain't talking about numbers. I'm talking about little old us in the size of, in the eyes of people who don't understand the level by which God doing things there. God took little old us in changing the world. Here it is as I close. You don't need big money to change the world. All you need is the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of Yah shall man live. If Yah give you a word, you best show stand on it and move on it, because that's the only thing going to keep you living. If you know he told you to do it, if you know he told you, if you know he said something to you, then that's what you better be busy doing. What he said. That's my secret. When y'all say something to me, I get busy about it. And I'm not trying to figure out what's in my pocket. I'm not trying to figure out what's on the table. When y'all say it, I get busy with it. And I watch him provide. I watch him open doors. I watch him meet the need. Why? Because I can live by his word, but I can't live by what sustained me. My cup running low, but y'all cup always in the overflow. And if we can live by his word, we'll always be sustained in life. We'll always be sufficient in life. We'll always be supplied in life. We'll always have all things and all sufficiency in everything in life when we live by his word. That's how I live. I don't know no other way. Okay. And so, it's vitally important for us to understand that. Feel good tonight when you lay down, knowing that the resources that God put in your hands, you have taken those resources and put it in the hands of your pastor, so to speak, who has been the overseer of a project that has created jobs and things for other families. Go to sleep tonight knowing that you have sowed some seeds and some lives of some people, not just a project. Go to sleep knowing tonight that you saved marriages. You saved family quarrels. You saved family disarray. Go to sleep tonight knowing you're feeding families. And you're causing families to thank y'all for everything that's happening to them, happening in their lives right now. That's what your test and your obedience has done. And I'll say this as I close. Now you think you're going to do all that? And y'all not going to bless you? You got to understand that this thing is way bigger than us. You know, so I tell him, and I still love the guy, man. I mean, we still talk every now and then. You know, so my perspective is, last time I really had a conversation with him about it, I said, look, man, I said, I'm going to leave the talking up to y'all. Y'all can talk about helping these folks. I'm just going to help them. And I know how to help them. I lead the talking and the interviews and the TV, the, you know, interviews. I lead all that up here. Yeah, I ain't gonna talk nobody. People been trying to get me to go on talk shows and come see what's happening. They trying to get me to go. No, I ain't got time to be talking. I ain't got nothing to say. I ain't one of those type of preachers looking for some kind of glory. Man, look what we doing. I just want to do. What you busy doing? I ain't got time to be sitting down and have no talk show, being on television, being on that. I ain't got time for that. I'll leave to you who want to feel important to get on and talk about your stuff. I ain't interested. Okay? Alrighty. That's all I have. I'm closed for real this time. Any questions, comments from anybody? You good? All right. Father, we bless your name on today. We just thank you for the blessings of understanding that you have enabled us to do a lot of wonderful things in the lives of people, as well as we're doing something wonderful for you. You had an effect on some of police officers, individuals. We just thank you for that, y'all. And we just glorify you for what you're doing with us. We just thank you that your kingdom has come in our lives. And we bless you for that in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.